Okay, well, welcome everyone to the Dr. Hedberg Show. This is Dr. Hedberg, and today I'm going to be talking about social media, especially Facebook, and its negative effects on your health and the human body. So, this is something I've been wanting to write about and talk about for a long time. It's been on my mind for quite a while, and just haven't gotten around to really writing about it, but it's really come to the forefront this year because this is a political, this is an election year. I'm recording this in July of 2016. And so this has kind of sparked my interest in this even more regarding Facebook and its negative effects on our health. So we know that technology is not really bringing us closer together. I mean, in one way it is, but in other ways it isn't. So email, texting, social media, YouTube, et cetera, these are ways to connect with people, but unfortunately not physically connect with people. So a lot of people are spending their time connecting with their friends and family on these social media outlets or through their devices, through text and email and Facebook and things like that. And there are some positives and negatives to that. The first thing to understand is that Facebook wasn't created to benefit people, to stay in touch share pictures and see what people are up to. That's not really why it was created. It was created for the sole purpose of data mining, which is basically looking at the patterns and intimate decisions and daily actions by its users to gather data so that that data could be used to market to the general population that's using Facebook. So really, I mean, the whole thing was created as a money-making machine. And, of course, it is a billion-dollar company now. And that's because of all that data that they've been able to gather from all of us. The other thing is that, you know, when you signed up for Facebook, you did agree. You probably didn't read the whole, you know, disclaimer, terms of use, and things like that. But it does say that they own your data forever. All your pictures, every single post you've ever written, everything, they own it now. And some people are possibly overly paranoid about that. Only time will tell. But in any case, I just want to make that clear up front that Facebook is strictly a money-making machine for profit. Now, it was great when it first came out because I did find a lot of people that I had kind of lost touch with, people I went to high school with and things like that. But it's become a lot more than that now. There are many, many ads. There are ads coming through my Facebook feed. And those ads are based on things that I click on, things that I search, and groups that I like. And so they're using all that information to market to me to make money. And that's something I really don't like. So let's get into the specifics of the health, the negative health effects of Facebook and other social media outlets. So one of the things that is creating a lot of health problems today is our lack of human-to-human contact. So social isolation is becoming more and more of an issue. We have more single people. We have people working too much. And we have people not getting together with other people as much as they used to. And when you become socially isolated, or if you just don't spend as much time as you should with other human beings, then we start to see some physical problems that begin to happen, especially with the brain. So we see immune system dysfunction. It becomes less competent when we're isolated from other humans. The reproductive hormones, especially women, begin to become imbalanced. So we all know that when women live together or spend a lot of time together, their menstrual cycles will coordinate exactly with each other. And that's simply by being in the vicinity of each other. So if a woman's isolated from other women, then we'll start to see imbalances there in the sex hormones. Also, the adrenal hormones become imbalanced, our stress hormones, our stress physiology, the cortisol, and then the autonomic nervous system, especially the sympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system, which is the fight or flight aspect of the autonomic nervous system, becomes more dominant. And so those adrenal issues and the stress physiology issues, those create extra inflammation, insulin resistance, mood issues, issues with the brain, all kinds of problems begin to happen. And as that inflammation increases, and inflammation is really at the core of most chronic illnesses, then things start to break down, like the mood, so depression, anxiety, insomnia, energy levels, so fatigue, and then we'll get weight gain because of the insulin resistance, etc., etc. So it's really not good to be too isolated from other people. And again, Facebook facilitates the ability to be physically isolated from other people because you can just see what everybody else is doing online. So let's get into a few additional things related to Facebook. So there are studies that show if humans are constantly checking texts, emails, the likes, you know, on the things that they post on Facebook, this actually gives you tiny hits of the neurotransmitter dopamine, which is the hit that you get from cocaine. And so these studies show that checking all these things actually is not obviously to the same extent, but it is very similar to cocaine and addiction to cocaine. So there are a lot of people that are actually addicted to these things and they don't even really know it. And you can just see that, you know, when you're at the movie theater, if you're out, if you're at a public event, you'll just see the people around you who just have to check their devices constantly. The other thing is that that's also been shown to lower IQ. And so this is great for companies who are doing marketing. So the people who are addicted and constantly checking texts and emails and social media, while they're doing that, and over time, their IQ begins to decrease. And when your IQ decreases, it's much easier to manipulate you into buying things, into signing up for things, into clicking, and things like that. So as the IQ decreases, you lose your ability to reason, rational thought, logic, critical thinking, all the things we need to avoid being marketed to and manipulated. And then that also makes people angry and anxious and fearful and all those problems as well. The other thing is that Facebook, it's actually been shown to activate areas of the brain that are related to addictive behaviors, things like gambling. So a lot of negative consequences there that a lot of people probably aren't even aware of, well, once they get, you know, wrapped up in the world of Facebook and social media. So I mentioned this earlier, you know, this is an election year. And so whenever I go on my Facebook feed, there's just constant posts about politics. And it's usually just the same old, you know, this party sucks and that party sucks, and or this candidate, you know, is the worst and my candidate's the best. And this really inappropriate, you know, I was taught as a kid that you don't discuss religion or politics publicly unless you're in that specific venue. So, you know, if you're at church or if you're at a particular, you know, political party's, you know, get together or whatnot, then you would discuss those things because you know you're around, you know, like-minded people. But Facebook has become a place where people just spew their political agendas or their religious agendas, and they just assume that everyone they know thinks exactly the way they do. And this creates all kinds of debates that I see, you know, among the people that I know. They get very heated. They become very emotional. One of the reasons why that happens is because they're already in a manipulative state of mind, being wrapped up in the social media world, like the things I just mentioned previously. The other thing, it's a lot easier for people to have these debates hiding behind their computer keyboards. So when you're talking to someone in person, you know, you can see the body language and the facial expressions and things like that. And so a lot of people are kind of hiding in the background, saying things that they normally wouldn't say, you know, in person to someone else. So unfortunately, we don't really have many intellectually honest conversations about these topics, if you are going to have them. And so it just creates, I just see a lot of anger and, you know, people unfriending each other over these things, not talking to each other. And the other thing is that type of interaction does create a pretty strong stress response in the body, especially anger. And anger is usually on the surface above fear, because people are afraid when they're around or talking to other people who don't think exactly the way they do. That's just how we evolved. And so the rational brain is suppressed on the internet and on social media. And so people just aren't really able to think clearly or intellectually. And that begins to have many negative health consequences. The other thing that you'll see is a lot of these health-related posts coming through. And people posting these don't really do thorough scientific inquiries into these things that they're posting. So you'll see things like anti-GMO posts, anti-vaccines, anti-gluten, anti-artificial sweeteners. You know, this thing is going to kill you, that thing's going to kill you. You know, all these things that are lurking, and it just creates fear and anxiety. And again, people aren't really doing thorough investigation into these things. And then on top of that, people are kind of using Facebook to spread current events. So you'll see, like recently there was a mass shooting, and then all of a sudden there's all these posts coming through and petitions that people want you to sign. And then within about a week or two, everybody's just silent again until the next thing pops up. But nothing ever really changes, or we don't really see any positive changes in all these things that are happening. So I've really just weaned myself off of Facebook. I do have, of course, my practice page. The only thing I do there is just focus on posting actual practical, very useful information that people can actually use. So I've gone back to the good old days, calling people, actually talking to them, seeing a lot more people in person, writing letters and things like that. So that's just me, but I feel much healthier, better sense of well-being, not getting caught up in these social media outlets. And all you have to do is, for example, YouTube. When you go to YouTube now, you just see how angry and hateful people are in the comments section under the YouTube videos. YouTube is actually the worst when it comes to that. It's much worse than Facebook and Twitter as far as what people are actually saying. And that's another interesting thing. And then you have the other outlets like Twitter and Google Plus, Instagram, Pinterest, you know, all these different outlets. Pinterest is actually fairly benign, no real issues there. But it's the Facebooks and the Twitters and the YouTubes. Those are, I've seen, are the most problematic and create the most amount of stress and fear and anger and anxiety in people. So some things to think about, you know, in that regard. It might be something you want to take a look at in your own life and see if you need to make some changes there. You know, if you have friends on Facebook who are posting things that are creating a stress response in you or frustration, then all you have to do is just click next to their post and you can block them from your feed. So you just don't have to see any of their posts anymore. You're still friends with them. So if you want to message them or connect with them, and things like that, you can take a look on their page, but you just won't see the stuff that they are, you know, spewing out into your Facebook feed. So just a few things to think about that I'm going to go through now that I think might help you. Next time it's a friend's birthday, don't just wish them a happy birthday on Facebook. That's really easy to do. Just pick up the phone, call them, you know, wish them a happy birthday, or even send them an actual birthday card. Another thing is try and arrange more human-to-human interaction. So think about your friends, you know, people you want to see, pick up the phone, and arrange a get-together, coffee, tea, lunch, whatever it may be, have them over. Start doing more of that. The next thing is, as I mentioned earlier, just don't engage in these political or religious agendas or debates on Facebook. You know, just respect everyone's beliefs. Keep these issues to yourself. Or, like I said, just discuss them in the appropriate venue. So whenever you attack a political party, a candidate, a person's belief system, you know, the people who believe that are going to be insulted and they're going to get angry. And you're never going to change anyone's mind about their beliefs or political affiliation or anything like that through a Facebook comment section. It's just not going to happen. In fact, you'll probably have the opposite effect of what you're looking for. The other thing is take a complete tech holiday whenever you can. You could start with just one day a week, like Saturday or Sunday. Turn off your mobile phone, your tablet, your computer, and get out in nature. Just completely get away from all that. I think you'll really feel much better taking a tech holiday like that, one day a week, or you know, certain times of the day. Set a schedule. Getting out in nature, it's been shown to reduce stress and depression, and it also enhances creative thinking. So if you are going to use Facebook, you know, maybe just give yourself a certain amount of time each day or each week. Only post, you know, positive things, maybe some useful things, things that people can actually use in their lives or feel good about. And leave the agendas at home. So one of the things you'll notice by doing some of these things is just an overall improved sense of well-being, because you're going to be seeing people more often in person, and you're going to get off of this this addictive, you know, like I said, almost cocaine-like social media world that people are caught up in. And again, that whole world was created to make money off of you and your habits and all your clicks and everything like that. So like I write on my blog post on the drhedberg.com blog in this article that is connected with this podcast, is it kind of felt strange writing this article just to remind everyone to have more human-to-human contact. And lastly, remember that you don't need Facebook for anything. You can still be intimately involved in all your friends and family members' lives without it if you choose to do so. You can email them photos directly. You can call them directly. Even email would be better than Facebook. So a lot of outlets there. You can go back to being a little bit more old school like I have. And I think this will have a positive impact on your life, because there's just so much noise these days, and Facebook and social media adds to that noise, and it's just not good for us. It's not good for our brains. It's not good for our health. It's just not good for our overall well-being. So that's it for this Facebook post. Again, go to drhedberg.com, check out the post on the blog. I do have links to the studies that I mentioned about the cocaine and the addictive personality disorders that people have using these things, and of course links to the studies regarding the physical and the psychological health. All right, so this is Dr. Hedberg. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you next time. Take care.